Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we can start the class now. We'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teaching from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Today is Tuesday, 13 April 2021. As usual, we will off the light and we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So you just relax body and mind and maintain awareness within, silent everything. Don't try to know. Just aware, and let the mundane mind settle down. Let the sankhara activity settle down and let the mind become very quiet. Always remember the main intent of this form of meditation is to train our mind to develop awareness or sati. Then after that, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate. The constantly meditative, ever mindful state of mind is heedfulness. And according to Lord Buddha, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So unless you are heedful spiritually, you don't stand a chance. So to meditate is to develop heedfulness. And heedfulness got two parts. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So the first part is to train our mind to develop the stability of mindfulness, then stabilize it to become ever mindful. So that is your main intent. You have to be very focused on that. Whatever you are doing, check whether you are training your mind or not. If not, go back to the training. Unless you develop the five spiritual faculty, you need to train this mind. The mundane mind that has not developed the stability of the five spiritual faculty will think a lot. It will have mental hindrance that will condition heedless thinking. So this understanding will enable us to relax body and mind and maintain awareness. That's it. Then after that, we can allow the awareness to stabilize through awareness of some activity, which can be your heartbeat or any vibration or even your object of meditation. You can just silence everything, relax into it, and allow the awareness to slow down, to settle down, until finally the mundane mind become very quiet, then you will realize your true mind. Your true mind is actually your silent mind without thought, and that is also your meditative mind. So all the meditation is to develop this awareness within and stabilize it. Then use it to meditate, use it to observe, use it to develop understanding. And when you can silence your mind and let whatever condition arising, phenomena arise, then you will start to understand clearly how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? What is the difference between the mundane thinking mind and the true mind? The true mind is the unconditioned. The true mind has no thought, nothing. It is just silent, aware, tranquil and peaceful. But the mundane mind is full of delusion, full of emotion, full of sankhara activity, full of views, opinion and conditioning. That's why the mundane mind, before the forming mind, is enlightened. is actually deluded, very, very deluded. And because of that, we need to reverse all this through developing the meditative wisdom. And to see all this, to understand all this, we need our true mind, the silent mind in awareness, to observe, to see, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. Only through that silent mind, the true mind, can there be any direct seeing, the silent observation of the moment, the reality in the here and the now. Everything within the moment, you can be aware. If you are not lost in thought, you will be aware. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought, thinking, preoccupied with what you are thinking, or you are just silent and aware. So understand this. Then you will know how to meditate and develop the understanding. 194. We are at the new adapter verse. Though all things are empty in nature, contact with an object of craving gives rise to craving. Contact with an object of anger gives rise to anger. Contact with an object of arrogance. Will give rise to arrogance. And contact with an object of ignorance will give rise to ignorance. Yeah. Thus, we deceive our own form and mind, yeah? Bodies and mind. The Heart Sutta states, their mind are without hindrance. Because they are without hindrance, they have no fear. Ultimately, everything is empty in nature, which means the five aggregates. Form, feeling, perception, sankhara, should be sankhara. I don't know why they use action. It should be sankhara, activity of mind or content of consciousness. And consciousness are all empty in nature. Although we all know this principle from the sutta, we chant it by heart and expound on its truth. Can we actually apply it in our daily life? So this is more important, eh? Applying it in our daily life. Even though we know that everything is empty in nature, when we are in an environment where we come in contact with object of craving, when this difficult situation arises, we cannot keep craving from our mind, or when we see people who do not like, or hear things we do not like hearing, anger arises. When things do not go our way, or go the way we want, we lose our temper. So this one, she is trying to share on the Dhamma aspect of the sixth sandal. When you are living life, when you are conscious in life, so you have to go into life. Even though the Heart Sutta say everything is empty in nature, all of phenomena, they are impermanent, leading to suffering. That's why they are non-self and empty. But when you live life, it's a different understanding. Because within existence, we are following the conditioned Dhamma. So conditioned Dhamma, there are things. Conditioned Dhamma recognizes relationship. Conditioned Dhamma has form, has phenomena, have objects, have many things. So the difference between the conditioned world's Dhamma, which is the conditioned Dhamma, and the ultimate truth, which is the unconditioned, we have to develop clear understanding. Otherwise, we don't know how to live life. To live life, you must understand both aspects. That's why even though everything is empty within the teaching, when you have understood and penetrated the Heart Sutta, the Buddha Dhamma, so it is stated that wonderful true emptiness is wonderful existence. The meaning is when you have penetrated true emptiness, that is wonderful existence. So this is very important. It doesn't mean that everything is empty, not real, not what you think. That is the understanding part from the realization of the unconditioned. But you have to make use of this to live life so that you are not deceived. We are within the conditioned world. There are things. There are living beings. There are human beings. But they are all conditioned phenomena. Have the universal characteristics of impermanence. You attach and cling. One thing's your way, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why it's anatta, non-self. And because of that, it's not so real, not what you think. That everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Because of condition, they arise. Because of condition, they continue to exist or sustain themselves. And when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. It's just the coming and the going, the birth and the death, the arising and the ceasing. So you can see all this clearly through the meditative mind, the silent mind. And the meditation, you will awaken. And when you awaken, you will not be confused. Then you can live life both within the condition and develop the ultimate unconditioned understanding, not to be deluded by it, not to be deceived by it, not to be gullible. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have the ultimate understanding of Dhamma is when you have penetrated through emptiness, then you are liberated, you are free. There is nothing to confuse you and delude you. And life becomes beautiful, wonderful, meaningful. That is the ultimate understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. It doesn't mean that everything is suffering. Everything is impermanent. Everything is not real, non-self. No, this is just the unconditioned Dhamma. The aspect of the unconditioned, the reality and truth of all phenomena. Where everything that is conditioned arising, causal phenomena, can never be a permanent and changing entity. So you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. And all these are not what you think. The unreality of form and mind, existence. That's why there is no mark. No mark of a cell cultivating or living life. No mark of others. No mark of existence. No mark of Dhamma, phenomena, everything. So when you understand all this, your mind liberate, then it can stand above, then it can understand everything, and yet it can recognize that the form and mind, even though unreal, impermanent, non-self, but it is related to your karmic nature. And this one is subject to karma. That's why you will know how to do your duty towards the law of karma. You will not violate this law of karma. That is also the reason why the Buddha, in his salutation to the Sangha, mentioned it very clearly. He said, this Arya Sangha, or the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, they have four very unique qualities. The first one is they conduct themselves very well, of upright conduct, of right conduct, and of wise conduct. They conduct themselves wisely. Then the last one is what I explained just now, of dutiful conduct. They know how to do their duty. That's where the teachings stand out and become very different from other teaching. So you are not only having all the right conduct, you are also very righteous, upright conduct. You are very wise, of wise conduct. And finally, you know how to perform your duty as a living being, as a human being. Although it's not you, but there is such thing as life, existence, human being, living being. And this form and mind, there is karmically conditioned for you to come to this existential world, to live life, experience life, and to go through all that you need to go through in life. It's actually related to your karma, part of your karmic nature. So even though it's unreal, but it's part of your karmic nature. And this is subject to karma. That's where you need to have the understanding to abide by that. Then you do your duty. Means the form and mind does not violate the law of karma. It knows it's not worthwhile. If you violate, the law of karma will hit back, cause and effect. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of negativity of mind state, you will reap the fruit of negativity of karma. So all these are very clearly stated in the teaching, and you can investigate to it to arise the right view and the right understanding leading to the wisdom. So all this, they are in the teachings. If you really develop the mindfulness and the heedfulness, you can understand all this. Then you can awaken to all this. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So that part about empty nature existence and existence, now you start to understand. Even though they are like two very different worlds. One is the conditioned world. One is the unconditioned world. But each has their wisdom. And you have to develop the wisdom or understanding of both the conditioned world and the unconditioned world for you to have the ability to come into this conditioned world to live life. Otherwise, you can't. The unconditioned actually is not a being, it's not an entity, our true nature, our true mind. So that one cannot come out and live life because it's not a being. But for that to come to the existential world, it needs one very important vehicle and tool, that is the form and mind. You need a karmic nature that can give rise to a form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world. So this is what birth is all about. Birth means the karmically conditioned form and mind or vehicle and tool. Like our case is this human being. They have a human form and a consciousness trapped inside. So these two you combine is the five aggregates of form and mind. The first aspect is as a human being. That every moment of consciousness, there is also the five aggregate, the mental five aggregate. So this is the reason why the teaching is not easy for normal living beings to understand. Unless you have the sati, the mindfulness, the stability of sati, you can never awaken to it. You can never realize it. So I will read on, then you can develop the understanding. We also say that we need to be humble, modest, and courteous with other people. But in our interaction with them, we often become arrogant, and perhaps we listen to others, and their influence causes us to have doubt about the Dhamma or about other people. In this way, contact with an object of doubt gives rise to doubt, and contact with an object of ignorance gives rise to ignorance. Then, of course, we cannot let go of our delusion. So this is the explanation by the author. So basically it's okay. But the purpose is to let you understand what cultivation is. So according to the author, he said, we also every time tell ourselves that we need to be humble, modest, and courteous with others when we live life. So this is to develop virtue in us so that we are incapable of negativity, the evil roots. But the problem is, we know that these are the quality we must have, but as we interact with other people, we often develop the negativity of emotion. We stir our mind and become angry. Then we develop arrogance. So all this is actually the opposite of cultivation. That's why to cultivate, you need to see. You need to silence your mind to observe how we ourselves, the form and mind, become entangled. Without wisdom, this form and mind will be deluded. It will become heedless. It will give rise to a lot of mental hindrance, leading to the heedless proliferation of thought. It makes the human being or individual think a lot. Then when you think a lot, you become heedless. You are constantly lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking process. Then every moment of sense contact, sense thought consciousness that arise. Because of your views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system, you stir your mind, you react to sense experience, you develop the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's how you develop positive and negative craving, leading to suffering. Basically, when you are not able to realize your true mind, means your true mind, your true nature is being clouded by the negativity or thought process, conditioned by ignorance and delusion. So before the wisdom arises, before you awaken, the mundane mind is ego, deluded. You will have all this problem. And to meditate is to see this clearly, awaken and straighten our view so that we will not live life following that heedless way. So that we can straighten our view to liberate our mind, to stand above all this delusion, duality, wrong view. Then we change over for the better. After straightening our view, we will have more and more right view. We will be more and more at peace. We will have less and less heedless thinking, sankhara activity. Because without avijja, sankhara is attenuated or totally can be rooted out. Because the first tooling of paticca samuppada is avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance. Mental activity or sankhara comes to be. That's how living beings who are heedless, deluded, with ignorance, think a lot. they cannot develop the silent mind. They cannot develop the meditative mind. They are not able to understand life. They cannot understand what is going on in life. They can't even understand who are they, what are they, what is this fire of form in mind all about. And if all this also they can't understand, how can they realize their true mind, their true nature? It's as good as impossible. So Dhamma training, Dhamma cultivation is not easy when you don't have the understanding. But when you have the understanding, it's very straightforward. It's very easy. And living being can really develop the understanding to awaken. Okay, we will continue. I almost finished explaining this one. So if you come into contact with people who have negative tendency, then you will develop the same tendency as what they have developed. So he said, when you come into contact with an object that gives rise to doubt, it will condition you to have doubt too. And you come into contact with object of ignorance, it will give rise to ignorance too. Then the cause. Sorry, then of course, he said, you cannot root out delusion. There is no such thing as let go of delusion. When you don't know there is a delusion, how can you let go? You have to root it out. When you straighten your view, then you realize that is a self-delusion, sakadity. Then automatically you won't hold on to it. That's why there is no such thing as letting go. Who let go? The person who don't understand want to let go. That is completely not the reality. So don't go and believe all these people who will try to teach you to practice letting go. Basically, technically, there is no such practice. You cultivate to develop wisdom. Once you have wisdom, you have straightened your view, you will not hold, you will not cling. Then, is there any need to let go? There is no such thing. But people who cannot understand, they will hold on to that viewpoint because it's very logical to them. If that is the one that caused me suffering, the I attached, the logical answer is, I should let go. But they never ask the question, who is trying to let go? The thought that is still deluded with the ego, sakayadity, is trying to let go. How can thought let go? The thought is ego, deluded with sakayadity. It will cling, it will hold, it will grab, where it believe it exists. But when you realize anatta, non-self, empty nature existence, then you realize he know you, he know me. Then is there any need to let go? Well, you will not cling, you will not hold. Well, all this you see very clearly. It's not what they are. All these are condition arising phenomena with the universal characteristic. No reality. He know you, he know me. If there is no I, no personality, then where is the ego? Without the ego, who is getting angry? Who is having greed, selfishness, trying to be possessive, trying to own things, have things? None. Then who is deluded? None. When the personality or the ego arise, that is where everything, the tree you root arise. Well, this is self-delusion, sakaya ditti. So this one is very important. I will read on. Our deluded habitual tendency of greed, hatred and delusion, or ignorance, They add in the word arrogance and doubt, easily arise in response to our environment and are reinforced in our mind. So this is very true. Even as we tell others, the Hans Sutta states the five aggregates are empty in nature. We ourselves are actually not living in accordance to the principle of emptiness. In our daily life, our actions, speech, and thought are never free of greed, hatred, and delusion, including arrogance and doubt. Thus, in body and mind, we are constantly deceiving ourselves and inflating our ego. When we deceive ourselves, we also deceive others. So this one, the author is referring to the unenlightened state of living beings, especially human beings. If in every situation we can clearly discern that wealth, sensual pleasure, fame, food, and sleep are the five roots of hell, then we will understand that we must always diligently progress in our spiritual practice and avoid any object of craving, anger, arrogance, or ignorance that would lead us to deceive our own form and mind. This particular paragraph, I think, is very popular with the Mahayana teaching. They call it the five roots of hell. Means if you attach to all these five, chances is you will take birth in hell. It is like the evil root of all evil. So these are the five roots of hell. You cling on to them, grasp onto them, you will definitely find your rebirth destiny to be the hell realm. What are they? According to them, is wealth, sensual pleasure or sensual desire or craving, fame, good food or nice food, and sleep. So to them, these are the five roots of hell. But you have to be careful. The way I see it is different. No, if you have the wisdom, these five things are perfectly normal. The teaching is don't attach, don't cling, don't be deluded by it, don't be deceived by it. So the user of all this is very important. Now let us discern more deeply into all this point. The first one is wealth, property, possession, whatever you have. Is it the source of rebirth in hell? No. There are a lot of rich people, like in the time of the Buddha, Anathapindika. He used the wealth wisely to buy that piece of land and offer to Lord Buddha. So if the user of wealth has the wisdom and the understanding, then wealth becomes wholesome. Then it leads to a lot of good merits, parami, and also wholesomeness. You can use wealth to help many people, to help the poor, to build school for people, to help relieve suffering, to help provide for education, the health system, the basic infrastructure, the basic need and necessity of life. So wealth or possession can actually help many people if you know how to use it. So you have to develop that understanding. Otherwise, what is being popularly taught in the Mahayana tradition may become a controversial argument. But they always refer to this as the five roots of hell. Then, according to the author, he said, if in every situation we can clearly discern that these five things are the five roots of hell, then we will understand that we must always diligently progress along the path of Dhamma or spiritual practice and avoid any of this object of craving that leads to downfall, to deceive your form and mind. So in a way, what is described is true. He said, you can clearly discern that if you don't have the wisdom and you attach to all this fighting, which is your wealth, of course it will lead to downfall, where you will become like very, they call what, extravagant, simply spend money. Then you become like what they call spoiled child. Like your children, they call it the second generation children, who don't experience the hardship, but at birth the silver spoon is given to them. They already have all this wealth and all this thing, so they become like, in our dialect, Cantonese, we call yi sai zhou. Yi sai zhou is, I don't know, in English you call them what? These are like pampered child, pampered children, spoiled child, pampered and spoiled child. So if you don't know how to use well, of course, it can lead to all those things. That's why the author said, if you can clearly discern that these are the five roots of hell, then you will put in the diligence to cultivate. Means the spiritual cultivation is important, the urgency. Because if you don't really stir out of it, then you may get trapped. Because before you are enlightened, all this will trap you. Especially sensual pleasure or sensual craving. Even reputation, like fame, when you become very famous, if you don't have the wisdom, it can lead to downfall. It can lead to a lot of problems. Because with fame comes jealousy and envy, and other people who don't like your way, your fame, your character, they will create problems for you. Then when you encounter situation and it leads to downfall, then fame becomes ill fame. Means people no longer praise you or look at you the way they used to look at you. All your fame is gone because of maybe certain things that people did to you. Sometimes it may not be the truth, but sometimes it could be the truth. You make one mistake, your entire reputation and fame is gone. So all this can lead to downfall if you don't have the wisdom. So if you attach to wealth, sensual desire or pleasure, fame, even food, you indulge in food, means you love food. you have no restraint. You know how to, you don't know how to like develop the contentment. You don't know how to like stop. Because too much food can be problem. It can lead to health problem, weight problem, obesity and all this thing. Then it make you lazy, indulgent, indolent. I forgot there's a word, make you lazy. Then if you sleep too much also same. But if you look at the physical body, when you need to rest, you should rest. And for normal human being, the best way to rest is to sleep. Unless you are a spiritual practitioner or cultivator, then you can rest by going into the meditative state, by developing awareness, and you can rest your body. And that type of rest is so much better than sleep. Sleep, unless you know how to sleep, you have deep sleep without any what they call subconscious release or dream or heedless thinking, then the time of sleep is quality sleep. Then it's like you recuperate, you rejuvenate after a good sleep, like you have rested. But if you know how to meditate, the meditative mind will know how to develop the rest much, much better than all this so-called sleep. That's why true cultivator, they seldom sleep. They actually, most of the time, they rest. They rest and maintain awareness, silent. They are fully aware. But sometimes if the body is too tired, you need to let it recuperate. The best is to go into deep sleep, just silent everything, and even the pure awareness, no need to hold on to it. Just let it go into the sleeping state or let it rest. Then the nature will come in through your life force and heal you and recuperate your form and mind. So this is how you rest. That is how your body recuperates. Sentient beings are attached to seeing defilements as pure. Therefore, they are complacent in their poor habit and turbidity and do not seek to transcend them. This is like seeing ice as water and thus not seeking to melt it. But if the water remains as ice, how can one drink it? So this is the analogy we read on. Sentient beings have attachments. So we stubbornly see defilement as pure. These are for deluded beings, those who don't have the wisdom. We cannot distinguish what is pure from what is being defiled, because we have complacently lived with poor habits, this habitual tendency, for so long. We are unable to clearly perceive our own habitual tendency and thus mistake what is wrong for what is right. We need to understand that all negative karma originate with our body, because karma is created through action, mainly action and speech. Furthermore, all actions originate from our mind. So if our mind can discern things clearly, we will not continue to unknowingly become defiled. So this sentence, you have to understand it in a different manner. He said, if our mind can discern things clearly, we will not continue to unknowingly become defiled. When you can discern things clearly, it means you have wisdom. Basically, is to have wisdom. Before you have wisdom, you will have wrong view. You will continue to be deluded. And defilement will actually take advantage of your delusion. Because you are deluded, you do not know that all these are defilement, especially the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then this defilement become more and more powerful, more and more like ingrained in you. That's why it become habitual tendencies. Yeah. So the Buddha actually used a few Pali words to describe all these defilements. The first one is kilesa. Kilesa, K-I-L-E-S-A. Kilesa is a general name for defilements. Then when the kilesa or normal usual defilement become very severe, then they call it anusaya or latent tendency. Means it has become so strong, it has become like habit already. So latent tendency, there is this tendency very latent inside you. When there is no condition, it can be dormant. But when there is condition, it will just come out, surface. Yeah? Then the third one is asavak. Or asavak is even worse than anusaya. Asavak means it is there waiting to erupt. No need condition also, it will erupt. That's why it's worse than latent tendency. It is like very powerful defilement. Yeah. So do not let it develop into anusaya and asava. If it become anusaya and asava, it's very difficult for you to reverse it unless you develop real wisdom. Yeah. If you have true wisdom, you will recognize all this. Then you have to contemplate, reflect, straighten your view, and develop the ability to see things as they are, to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, and to awaken. Otherwise, this defilement will continue to haunt you, deceive you, and delude you. Because the defilement arises from the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion come from your sakyatiti, self-delusion, when you cling on to the five angry of form and mind. Believing that it's real, it's you, then you develop the wrong view, the self-delusion, the attach and cling. And unknowingly, you develop the ego, the egoic mind, the personality. That is the one true self-delusion, sakyatiti. You believe it real, exists. You believe that is what you are. That's why all become like real to you. That's why you become possessive. You become selfish. You become authoritative. You become violent. You develop envy, jealousy, arrogance, and all the negativity of mind state, including fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, even doubt, insecurity, phobia, everything. They are all spin-off from these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why they are called root of all evil. When you have them, it makes you evil. You become evil. And these are all wrong thoughts. Wrong thought that condition your negativity of mind state. And this wrong thought arise, it will condition you into fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, lack of peace, unhappiness, leading to all the fear, worry, anxiety, affliction, stress. So this is how you should develop the understanding. That's why I come out with the very important suggestion. Whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, you have arisen the wrong thought or the evil roots are there. Otherwise, you will be very peaceful and very happy. Without the evil roots, you will be very peaceful and very happy. But because of the evil root, you will condition the wrong thought and make you miserable, afflicted. So all this negativity of mind state, the defilements, the anusaya, the asava, they come from your sakyatiti, self-delusion, and ignorance. Okay, we continue. Yeah? So here, when it say, the author say, if our mind can discern things clearly, it means you must have wisdom. Yeah? Otherwise, you will continue to unknowingly cling on to all the defilement, thinking that you are still okay, normal. The purpose of spiritual practice or cultivation is to become aware of all this defilement and eliminate habitual tendency. See, the author also know it's not easy to eliminate or root out habitual tendency. You need to become aware of all this. Then only you can straighten your view to root out this habitual tendency, which are your anusaya, asava, and kilesa. If we can clearly see how we are complacent with our bad habits, we will not hesitate to change. That is what meditation is all about. When you are aware that these are the ones that condition your suffering, your misery, then you will reverse it. You will straighten your view to reverse it. That's how you root it out. We must learn how to adjust our habitual tendency and then gradually eliminate them so our spiritual practice can steadily move on in the correct direction. So habitual tendency need to be rooted out or eliminated. Otherwise, you will continue to react to sense experience. Your mind will continue to stir. Then there is lack of peace. You are hardly at peace. That's why most of the time you are being agitated. You react to sense experience. You stir your mind. You develop the duality of light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And they are related to sensual desire, you will. And these are all mental hindrances. That's why when you have this mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's the reason why you cannot be in the meditative state to meditate, to have the awareness to see things clearly. You will continue to stir, react, think a lot, and then develop the negativity of mind state. We will read on. We should walk straight down this broad path, taking no detour. If we deviate a little at the start, we may move further and further away from our goal. And we will be unable to find our way back out to the proper path. So this is very true. If you don't straighten your view, you will deviate. When you deviate, you can be lost. So delusion is very frightening. That's why without right view, without right understanding, it's not easy to walk this path. It's not easy to liberate the mind, to free the mind. Some people may say, Master often say that these are all just principles, so we need not get attached. However, it is the labels and appearances that we should not get attached to. A single principle might have many names for its appearances. So we must avoid getting attached to this symbol or treating the label as principle, all without seeking a deeper understanding of their meaning. For example, the difference between the thing labeled ice and water is their appearance. Ice has the appearance of ice. Water has the appearance of water. Based on the principle of physics, water can be frozen into ice, and ice can be melted into water. However, we should not be attached to the idea that water is ice and ice is water. If we are overly attached to the fact that principles are without appearance and do not seek to understand their manifestation, we will not be able to make use of them. When we are thirsty, we need to quickly drink water to quench our thirst. But ice need time to melt before it can become drinkable. So although ice can melt into water, before it melts, it cannot be used to quench our thirst. In the same way, human nature is inherently good, and everyone has the potential to attain Buddhahood. But before people eliminate their habitual tendency, so that is the repeated understanding again, habitual tendency. Somebody's mind is not off. I think it's giving distortion. Okay, we help you to offer it. In the same way, human nature is inherently good and everyone has the potential to realize Buddhahood. This is very true. But before people eliminate their habitual tendency, they will find it difficult to understand the working and principle of all things and manifest their wisdom. For example, those who have a quick temper and lack patience are not well suited to be a bridge of communication between people. The time for them to take on this role has not yet arrived. They still need to learn patience, humility, and forbearance before they can assume that responsibility. This is like melting the ice into water first. And to do this, it takes time. Sometimes we may think a certain person is well suited to take on a great responsibility. But after taking up that role, he becomes caught up in having the authority, and his pure and innocent thinking becomes complicated and stubborn. This shows how people's environment can influence their true nature. A certain environment may also transform a person with complicated thoughts and endless desire into one who is pure and innocent in their thinking. Through the experience of interacting with people and handling matters, we are able to rectify their previous error. However, sometimes in the same environment, an innocent and pure mind might be imperceptibly defiled by the dust of external condition. So in our daily life or daily living, we must constantly wipe clear the mirror of our mind. This is illustrated by the story of a young man, which the author knows. He was in his 20s and was born into a good family. Both his parents were Tsuji volunteers, and their family business was very successful. They took care of him in every way possible. But the young man rejected their love and care because he thought they were too strict. So he sought freedom and happiness by making unwholesome friends. People plead with him saying, "Your parents love you dearly. Your family is so wonderful. You should seize the opportunity to study hard so you can take care or take over your parents' business." However, the young man felt, Why would I want to inherit the business and work so hard? He did not appreciate the good environment and business opportunity that has been provided by his parents. Fortunately, his nature was innately kind. When his friend wanted him to help them fight other people, he felt that this was not the right thing to do, so he didn't go. After he continued to decline his friend's invitation, they gradually distanced themselves from him. However, he still rejected his parents' love and care, and had now also lost his friend. So he felt very alone, and eventually became depressed. His parents did not know how to help him, and their concern only created more stress for him, aggravating the depression to the point where it turned into a manic depressive disorder. Since he was unable to put his mind at ease, even medical treatment did not provide any relief. His parents worried every day and finally sought help from other Tsuji volunteers. A very wise Faith Corps member invited the young man to go with him to a nursing home. He asked, "Why do we need to go to the nursing home? Just do what I say. Come with me today." When they arrived at the nursing home, the young man saw a lonely elderly man. He asked the Faith Corps member, "Is he your family? Is his family very poor?" The Faith Corps said, "You can ask him yourself." The old gentleman told the young man that he had children, and his family was not poor at all. The young man could not help but blurt out, "Why are your children so unfilial?" As soon as the words were out of his mouth, he realized that he could be talking about himself. The nursing home also accepted mentally and physically disabled people. Some were children, some were adults. When he saw a young person being fed by the caretaker, he asked, "How old is he? Why does he need to be fed by other people?" The fake cop member invited him to go and ask them himself. Even though he did not really want to, he went over and asked, "How old are you?" The young man has cerebral palsy, which caused physical disability and paralysis. He answered with great difficulty, 27 years old. The young man's words were difficult to distinguish, and others had to translate it for him so that he could understand. He could not help thinking, "This young man and I are the same age. Why is it that for him, he just 27 years old? Why is it that for him, just saying 27 years old is so difficult?" He felt very sad for him and asked, "Why was he sent here? Doesn't he have any parents?" "Yes, but his parents are elderly and in poor health. His family has financial difficulties, so they had no alternative but to send him here." He thought, "My own parents are getting old, but my parents is well off, and I am very healthy. Compared with this young man, shouldn't I be contented?" So on the way home, the fake cop member said to him, "Don't you see? You have lived a very good life, but because you never experienced other environment, you were not able to compare yourself with others. Your family are now in the 50s and 60s. Life is impermanent. Nobody knows what will happen in the next second." The young man retorted, "Some people live to 80 and 90 years old." The fake cop said, "Come with me to one more place today." So the fake cop member took him to the hospital to do more volunteer work by visiting the pediatric and oncology ward. He saw little children being treated in the intensive care unit, and he saw many cancer patients ranging in age from their 20s or 30s to the 50s and 60s. He finally had an important realization. Life is so impermanent. What is really worth pursuing in life? So he said to the fake cop member, "Uncle, can I spend more time with you and listen to your teaching?" Then the volunteer cop, fake cop replied, "You can, but you must do volunteer work with me." So this young man replied in the positive. He said, "Okay, I will volunteer with you." Ever since then, the fake cop member has taken him along to be a recycling volunteer, to visit senior home, to provide service to disabled people, and do other volunteer work. He also brought him to volunteer at the Qingshi Hall. The young man's parents told me, "Master, we are so grateful to have our son back safe and sound." So this is beautiful, huh? So this young man did not know that he lived a good and fortunate life because he had never compared his own situation to those of others. He lived peacefully in an exceptionally good environment, but he did not realize that his mind was covered by dust. After he saw the way other people live, his mind suddenly became open and clear, no longer so focused on himself. His life began to change. So in life, if we constantly form attachment, our mind will be easily defiled. If we can quickly and clearly understand the principle, we can eliminate the obstacle that arise from our attachment and return to our true nature. Though our true nature always remains the same, our appearances may change as we live in different environments, pass through different stages of life, and face different karmic forces. Not long ago, a Tsuchi commissioner came to visit with his daughter, telling me that the daughter was going to study abroad. Looking at a young lady all grown up, I could not help but remember how adorable she has been when she was very young, and her mother had brought her to visit. Now she sat there, proper and ladylike. But as we talked, I could feel that she was nervous, ill at ease, and very restrained. Why was it that her appearance of 10 or so years ago was so different from her current appearance? At that time, she had been so pure-hearted and innocent regardless of who it might be. If she liked someone, she would approach and give them a big hug. Why was that sense of freedom and ease missing now? This is because people's personality constantly change under the influence of their environment. So this is also Dhamma, when you are subject to different condition or life environment, you tend to be influenced by what happened, for good and for bad. So this one also needs mindfulness training. It also has a lot to do with your karmic past. If your karmic past is such that you have to go through those environments to bring forth the suffering and the misery and the affliction, then you will have to confront them. Where every moment of life experience, like the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So we have to take care of karma, otherwise we can be led into a birth with certain conditions that can lead to suffering and misery. Means we have to pay back our karmic debts. So that day I sent out a video to the Maitreya-mitta, the Mahayana, I think it's a video spoken by a lady, Jingya. That one is about karma, how to root out karma, how to actually overcome karmic obstacle. You should listen to that sharing. The video is very good. That one clearly mentioned how all this karmic negativity arise. Even your mental hindrance, your mental heedlessness, they are all conditioned by your past karmic activity and action. So if you don't ask for forgiveness, if you don't repent, if you don't do all the Dhamma cultivation, you cannot overturn all this or root all this out. So asking for forgiveness, seeking repentance sincerely and with faith is very important. Then how to reverse all this coming obstruction through your aspiration, invoking power of merits and all those things, then following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and cultivate blessings and wholesomeness and virtue. And then of course finally is to meditate, to straighten our view. So these are all the teaching. And that video, 20 over minutes, I think is very good. Very concise and very beautiful. If you know Mandarin, is better. Otherwise, you can also develop the understanding by listening to it for a few times. At every moment in time, we are changing, but we are not aware of it. So this is very true. Our appearance changes constantly with space and time. Likewise, our mind are also developing accordingly, so that we will gradually be able to discern matter and principles. However, our true nature never changes, As we go through this process of constant change, if our mind are defiled, our habitual nature will guide what we do. Acting out of this habitual nature, we will accumulate defilement that obscure our true nature. So actually, it should be habitual tendencies. Okay, one more paragraph, then we can end. Therefore, in order to follow the Buddha's way, we must take good care of our mind. Our mind must peacefully abide in our pure intrinsic nature, not in our bad habits and turbidities. As Buddhist practitioners, we must understand that any principle may appear to be ordinary concept, but not until we test ourselves over time and truly experience them by putting them into practice, we will still not thoroughly understand them and will not be able to develop our wisdom life. If we can always clearly manifest our wisdom, we will not lose the Dhamma we have learned. And as we go among people and interact with them, we will be able to apply it with ease. This is very true. If you have stabilized your understanding, then that understanding stay with your nature. Your niso manasakara will just manifest. So we open up for meditation reporting.
But Brother, assist that, Brother, maybe we can discuss this yesterday's video. Ah,
可以，很好。Okay, the video very good. Yes.
Can you not hear? Can you not hear?
尊敬的大德法师，各位同参道友，大家好，欢迎来到静雅佛音，我是静雅，南无阿弥陀佛。消除业障是我们修行人最重要的一。
So the first sentence is very important. 消除业障是我们修行人最重要的一个什么？哈密果，来来，他。Maybe I need my wife to read this word.
功课。
Oh, 功课。So, can you understand the meaning or not? He said, 消除业障 means eliminate our karmic obstruction. It's one of the most important cultivation or tasks that a cultivator should do. So, we go on. This is for the benefit of those who don't know Mandarin.
修行人最重要的一个功课。我们经常会听到很多同修们在说，我在诵经念佛拜佛的时候，经常呢会心不在焉，杂乱纷飞，这都是业障所使。
So now you hear.When you are doing all those so-called Mahayana cultivation, like Song Jing, Nian Fo, everything, he said it's just like Theravada tradition or any Dharma practitioner, Tong Siu and all those things, who actually try to develop the learning of the Dhamma, like you meditate. But instead of developing the meditation, he said a lot of heedless thinking arise.杂念 and other things. And all these are karmic obstruction. That one is very important. So you have to take note of all this. Hey, go on.
业障太深厚的人，我们的烦恼习气就改不掉，智慧就不能现前，它会障碍着我们。什么是业障？障就是障碍。障碍了真心，
障
碍了本性，
障碍了本性。
什么是障？业就是障。业是事业，人都希望自己的事业越做越大。可是业越大，障越大，烦恼也就越大。这点一定要知道。人出不了六道轮回，就是造业从来没有终止过。
对，
杀盗淫妄酒，财色名食睡，其实每个人都在不断的造着恶业，作恶就有障碍，其实做善也有障碍， 果报都出不了三界。造善业，善业是投胎到三善道，造恶业是三恶道的果报。佛教里面要让我们断一切恶，修一切善，修善还不能着相，就是净业，着相业就不净了，也会产生障碍的。我们最大的业障就是自私自利，
自私
自利最严重的就是贪心，贪得了就吝啬，贪不到就有嗔恚心，就有嫉妒心，就造无量无边的罪业。所以我们学佛都学了很多年了，烦恼习气还是那么多，智慧还是不能现前。什么原因呢？并不是说佛菩萨不灵，而是自己本身的业障。
See, this explanation is very good. It's not because the Buddha and Bodhisattva are not helpful. It's because of your very strong negative coming obstruction. So, 自己本身的 I mean,
业障深厚
啊，业障深厚 means very thick, very strong.
深厚，业障如果不除
啊 ，you must
就障碍我们的智慧和福报。
It will hinder.
所以为什么要让我们每天念佛、持咒、诵经、回向、忏悔，
yeah.
就是要消除我们的业障。
业障 yeah.
那很多人就问。那我是怎么样才能知道我的业障消除了呢？你业障消除会有五种表现，大家看看我们有几种在你身上消除了。第一，如果你业障消除了，你本身的出离心就会升起，那么你的贪心执着就会慢慢的减少了，最起码你看淡了世间的物质的执着和情感的执着。如果你学佛了，抓着佛法紧紧不放，世间的物质情感名利也都不放下，就说明你的业障还没有完全消除。因为学佛修行最重要的是不是抓，
yeah,
而是舍。
舍、yeah.
有的人学佛，不过就是为了现世过得更好，根本不想出离。那么你不是修行佛法，
yeah, yeah.
不过就是在修行世间法而已。因为我们学佛都知道，为什么学佛？
Yeah.
目的就是要了脱生死，
了脱生死，
不再六道轮回。如果你没有这个出离心，那就说明你修的是世间法。第二，如果你业障消除了，你本有的智慧就会升起。智慧是每个人本有的，不用向外求的，书本里是不会给你智慧的。经书乃白纸黑字，如何度人出离生死，只肯经书，不肯从心底下功夫，那不过是一介书生罢了。修行是用在刀刃上，是在烦恼是非升起的那一刹那，看看你能不能知觉降服。有些人虽然懂了三藏十二部经典，懂了各种名词，但是当下的烦恼却降服不了的话，这样呢就只能说明我们是在研究佛学，而不是学佛了。研究佛学就不能减少你的业障，时刻观察自己的念头，让智慧升起，这就是学佛的根本，而不是天天从书本里啃出来的，而是在生活中修行，从修行中生活。
like,
要修我们这一颗心、
yeah.
要天天观望着你的心是不是有正直正念、
yeah. 正直
三如果你的业障消除了你本有的慈悲心就会升起、
yeah. very...
无缘大慈、
yeah.
同体大悲、
yeah.
我们无法慈悲因为执着一个我、
嗯、
我执着障碍了我们的慈悲、
嗯、
很多人虽然读了很多的经书可以说是深入经藏也知道慈悲的含义但是慈悲不是用嘴巴讲讲就可以的而是要有真实的行动才能发觉自己够不够慈悲是不是为了自己的利益去伤害别人去诽谤别人甚至逃避自己的责任这就是需要我们在真正的生活中检讨自己是否发起了真正的慈悲心四如果你业障消除了你本有的菩提心就会升起、
嗯嗯、
三世诸佛都因为发了为众生离苦得乐的愿力而成佛的、
嗯嗯嗯、
菩提心就是不忍众生为苦的心、
嗯嗯、
你发愿去救度他们脱离苦海、
嗯、
你所做的一切都是为了救拔苦难众生离苦得乐这就是菩提心首先我们发菩提心的人应该具备以下的四种心第一大智心此心不着我相二大愿心广修善行三大悲心救众生苦四大爱心心存善念菩提心是大乘佛法的精髓、
yeah.
佛教徒应该发菩提心、
嗯、
发菩提心就是成佛之心
成佛之心
五如果你业障消除了你的恭敬心就会升起
yeah.
业障凡夫都是自己看着自己很了不起的、
yeah.
看着大家都是凡夫唯独自己是菩萨而真正的菩萨则是看自己是凡人在自己的眼中每个人都是菩萨如果我们觉着自己有修行这就说明业障并没有消除只是看到自己没有修行时那时你的业障才会减轻以上的这五种如果你本有的出离心菩提心慈悲心恭敬心智慧都升起的时候说明你的业障在减轻如果学佛后你越执着了越有我慢了越有贪心了那就说明你的业障根本没有减轻为什么出离心菩提心慈悲心是本有的呢本有就是我们本来具足的因为我们每天具足的一切只是被我们的贪嗔痴慢疑所障碍了蒙蔽住了我们自己而已所以呢在这里希望我们修行人每天都能精进的念佛持咒诵经拜佛回向忏悔这样呢我们才能真正的在修行中露出我们真正的本性和佛性去除我们的执着分别和妄想那如来藏性本来就是清净无染的这样我们的清净心才能现前念佛才能成佛好了今天的视频就分享到这里感恩大家的收看
OK go back to the other screen OK so this is very good isn't it let us rejoice first Sadhu 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 So with this we discuss it, it will be very good. Yeah, Song, you can continue now.
Brother, 它里面有几个 points.
Very important.
Very good,
everything is the essence of cultivation.
对对 ，essence of cultivation.
The video is very good. Where is understanding karmic obstruction? This one very few cultivator understand one. They think they go retreat vipassana, no need to do other thing. No, my nature straight away knew when I came this life. I never learned from anybody, but I know how to apply the three things. Ask for forgiveness or repentance. Then after that, vow not to repeat it, follow the advice of the Buddha, then cultivate. Then after that, invoke power of merits for turnaround of vows and aspiration. It's like all these are very beautiful understanding, and it leads to the cultivation. So just now, the karmic thing also involved the transformation of a cultivator from the Bodhi mind, how all this come about. Then from that understanding, you develop all the virtue, which are very beautiful. And all this virtue is connected to the first Bodhisattva vow, the basic vow. That is the basis of love and compassion. That's why you vow to save the limitless living being and take them all across. So all this, they come from their understanding. Okay, Song, you continue.
比较 hit 到我的就是他讲我们一定要实修啊，不要只是在很像做个 scholar， 只是在理论上了解。
Very true. A lot of people they study the Buddha Dhamma.
对对。
Cultivate. That's why the real cultivation, the what they call the cultivation means, the real practice is.At the heart area and in the midst of life. She always said, you must develop the awareness to observe, then develop the understanding, transform your understanding by using your true mind at the heart area. Then in the midst of life, you have to do all this. That's all cultivation is like that, not theory, not cling on to the Dhamma words.Cling on to all the very important so-called powerful words that are very enticing, like jhana, jnana, then fantastic meditation and all those things. They're all the dhamma, the words. No use, because that is not cultivation. That is just being scholarly. That is just dhamma knowledge.Whereas the true cultivation involves mindfulness, heedfulness, then the right view, right understanding, leading to all the right thought and all those things. So when you understand, you will know how to progress. That's why it hit you is because you realize you like to analyze, you like to reason. So the analysis and reasoning is from the Dhamma, the knowledge.That is the mundane mind doing the analysis and reasoning. But the real cultivation, they go beyond on this. You just silent, no need to know, don't try to know. Just develop stability of awareness. Stabilize that nature. Then use that nature to observe, to investigate, to reflect, to contemplate, then to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight into phenomena.To realize the three universal characteristics, then all this transformation is within your nature. Then only it can straighten the individual's wrong view. When your wrong view are being straightened, then you react less. You become more heedful, less heedless. That's how more and more moment of peace, more and more moment of tranquility, stillness,Because your habitual tendency, your mundane mind doesn't stir, doesn't react like before. So that's how cultivation actually progresses. So a lot of people didn't know. They use knowledge, they use logic. Oh, greed, hatred, and delusion. I must let go. I must not attach. So all this become theory. This is not the real cultivation. The real cultivation is you develop the wisdom, the awakening, then the understanding, then you will not hold. Well, you see the delusion in them. Like I taught you all, you must learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. That form delusion has no more power over you. That is the real cultivation at the mind level, not at the physical outward appearances. That type of cultivation is all knowledge, not the real one. So the scholar like to memorize the sutra and repeat all the so-called teaching, the chanting and everything. That's why when you do that, you commit to memory. So when you commit to memory and you don't have mindfulness and awareness to see acting according to memory is not acting at all, you cannot develop the wisdom. The wisdom is developed through the silent mind, that insight into phenomena and awaken. And the wisdom is beyond thought, beyond mind. It stays with your form and mind, connected. That's why it's not from memory. But if you commit everything to knowledge as memory and try to remember them and rattle the teaching, no use. Even like the Mahayana, some of the what they call speakers, they are very good at the sutra. They give all the examples. Yeah, the words are all there. So they, not all, some of them, they memorize it and become very conversant with it. But if they have not put it into cultivation, they may not have the ability to realize that Dhamma. That Dhamma that is to be realized is through the silent mind, through the awakening from that nature, not through book knowledge, not through concept, not through Dhamma words. So all this is very useful. So you continue to explain, Songbia. I understand why you find it very interesting, that part. You continue to explain your own way.
Go through 那个 Sankara 的 experience 以后, 然后我在听到这个, 他在这个 explain 的时候, 真的是, 那个 cultivations 哦, 真的是要你自己走进去。 你才能够知道真正那个 wisdom 的 cultivation, 它不是只是在 knowledge wise 里面。 So, 等一下他这个 paragraph 就是 气到我就觉得哇真的是要自己走那也因为这个那一天我的这个experience 让我知道了这个真正的这种 cultivation 是要怎么样的去 cultivate
对 That's why they say silsing
对
Silsing means you cultivate the mind, you don't cultivate the knowledge, you don't cultivate the words, the Dhamma, no use. You cultivate the mind. The mind that is the true mind, the silent mind. The silent mind, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, can insight into phenomena. Then that nature awaken. You know what is awaken? Awaken means it realizes. It just understands. Not through words. It just understands. The whole thing becomes very clear. That's why that one is not a knowledge. It's not rigid one. That one is universal, apply to all condition. Like Sankara Anicchang doesn't mean one aspect of impermanent or Anicchang. No, the whole phenomenal world is like that. Then you can link to everything. That's why wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is an all-knowing, complete understanding. Then you can apply this wisdom to all condition. You don't have to, every time when you encounter a situation, you try to recall what the Brother Teo say, what did the Buddha say. No need. The Yonisomanasikara, the wisdom at the moment of sense experience, straight away will manifest. And this is spontaneous. It will just come out. Spontaneous from you. So that understanding is from that nature. There's like no need to remember anything. No need memory. Whereas the other one, they have to every time remember. If they don't remember through memory, they cannot speak, they cannot share. Everything they refer to, memory, is like their encyclopedia. But the real cultivation, like what you have come to understand now, so which is very good, is to cultivate the true mind, to cultivate that nature, stabilize it, then let it awaken, let it insight into phenomena, let it understand, let it reflect, let it contemplate, let it give rise to the daily mindfulness, the stability of it, so that you are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then the understanding or wisdom keep on arising, not from Dhamma words, not from knowledge. It's from the daily life, from what you see, what you observe. Anything can trigger off understanding. And everything becomes so pristine, so beautiful, and everything is within the moment. You are not lost in thought. You are not heedlessly trying to know things and all those things. So you will know how to contemplate, how to reflect, how to inquire. Then after that, the nature gives rise to the understanding. That's why when you contemplate and reflect means when you are in a proper setting, environment, you have some form of mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, and you are heedful, and then you contemplate. Means you throw out the Dhamma, the inquiry. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Then sometimes when you silence your mind, sometimes just a phenomena that pass by can awaken you. Like in the Buddha's time, a lot of Jataka story and also the story of the monks and the nuns. There was one nun, I think Bhikkhuni, she was washing her leg, and as she poured the water on her leg, before the water even reached the end, she became an arahant. Because she was so mindful and heedful, and everything was silent, then the phenomena awakened. Then there was a group of, don't know how many hundred monks, I remember, they came back and wanted to see the Buddha, because they were meditating in the forest, they get into trouble. And suddenly, at the moment, there was very heavy rain, the bubble pop, pop, pop. Then all these monks become arahant because they are ready. And the Buddha helped them through his ability to let them insight into the phenomena. So there were many incidents during the Buddha's time where the cultivator just awakened like that because of phenomena. Then like Asaji and Sariputta, just two stanza. Then like Hui Ning, he heard just one stanza of the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away awakened where his mind was really like that. So when you have that stability of understanding, when you are ready to receive truth, then any of the first, second, or third turning can trigger. And this is what cultivation is all about. It's not about Dhamma knowledge. And when you hear truth, that truth becomes very different, very penetrating. It's just like the silent mind insight into that truth. Awaken just like that, there and then at that moment. So all this, you will have the ability to understand. And as you develop the cultivation, as you go through, this understanding will unfold. Okay, so?
Yeah, 对，那 Brother 很多的时候，我们都听了很多来 Brother， 我们跟 Brother 你学了这个听了你的 sharing 很多年，但是在 in the cultivation 方面，我们一直下不了手。你觉得很多的就让我想到刚才还一开始就讲的那个，我们很还是有很多的业障，这个业障是 come from 我们的那个 wrong thought 跟我们的 wrong view， 它一直在后面很
past life， not this life， past life 的业障， that's why 要消除， you don't 消除啊， it will condition your mind state， it will condition your environment， your cultivation situationEverything is like what the Buddha say, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So all the heedless thinking, cannot meditate, cannot what, it's all coming obstruction. That's why I say coming obstruction, you have to clear. You don't play a fool. That's why I teach you the complete one. whosoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or not, this will cover the whole spectrum. Otherwise, you cannot break them all. That's why that aspect, Mahayana haven't actually developed that one, whomsoever from the distant past. They always have the standard Chan Hui and all those things. But this one, asking for forgiveness from all beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly that you have committed karmic obstruction, karmic negativity or suffering or misled or all those things, you cover them all, then you sincerely ask for forgiveness. And these are very powerful. And the reason why earlier on you all cannot grasp so clearly is because, do you realize the big difference or not? Today's video that Jingya speak, if there is no Mandarin words down there and the English translation down there, how many of you can really understand and recall what she said? It's because you all have all this training, then you see the importance of the word, then because it's all properly video and with the subtitle, everything, and the translation, then you can pick it up. Otherwise, if it's just like a normal sharing, like what I did in the early years, of course recorded, but hardly anybody last night listened to the recording. Nowadays, different, we have people chase after the recording. So even you chase after the recording, that's why without the short video and the subtitle, most of the word I use, you all may not understand. That's why it's very difficult for you to grasp. This one is very good because the translation is very accurate, reasonably accurate. Then the Mandarin words are very accurate. So this video is very helpful. And it's everything about karmic obstruction that you need to root out to develop the cultivation. Everything that you encounter as a cultivator is all due to karmic obstruction. Because we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Then after that, he teaches you how to cultivate the Bodhi mind, how to develop the four great beautiful mind states of Ta'ai, loving kindness, reverence, and all those things. So those are very beautiful. Very good. So at least this topic, I think this video, because it's share screen, you all will listen to it. Those who re-listen will find it very interesting. But this one magnifier, bigger than the handphone. So the words are clearer. Oh, but you watch Zoom with your handphone, my daughter say that no difference. You must put it on your computer. Okay, so you continue.
他讲的那个如果我们的那个业障消除了那五个心我surprise他第一个讲的就是那个处离心就是你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你renunciation你ren
not what you think. 一切有为法，有人不 all the Dhamma come back. 如梦幻泡影 everything.
他讲到这个处理心，就让我 connect 到那个在cultivating 那个 Bodhisattva way 的那一本书里面有讲到，如果我们要走这个菩萨道的第一个就是要有那个处理心，就是我们要有 renunciation of the mind， 就是让我们越来越 simple， 越来越简单。当越来越简单的时候，我们的那个真心佛性全部就会出来。修行的道路，
因为你没有自作了啊，他就不会有那个无明来盖住你的真心嘛。That's why all the coming obstruction they obstruct your true mind, your true nature. So all this you need to ask for forgiveness, repentance to free. That's why the whole cultivation based on understanding is very important. Renunciation is very important. You see, the second vow is also about ability to endure and root out all suffering. Means you can renounce everything. Otherwise, you will attach and you will have affliction. So for you to have the ability to endure and persevere and root out all coming affliction, you must have that wisdom and the understanding to renounce everything so that you will not attach to anything. Otherwise, affliction will be there. That's why craving, born of self-delusion, is affliction, is dukkha. Upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, is suffering, affliction. So all this you will understand, yeah? They are all connected. That's why I like this video, is because they summarize it out very well, and all the things that they share are the essence of the Mahayana practice and cultivation. They summarize them all inside very beautifully. And it linked to karmic obstruction and cultivating the Bodhi mind. And leading to all the right view, the true cultivation, everything. This video is very beautiful, short but very concise, direct to the point. So now you start to appreciate all this. So your ability to capture all this is because you have started to develop the understanding of the cultivation. Then you see where you actually miss out. So this one is very good. Well, this one, one word, renunciation, the meaning is so deep. No?
You
must have the wisdom to renounce everything. Well, everything is empty. The five aggregate of form and mind is empty. No reality. So why did you cling and hold? You cannot renounce means the ego is still there. The atta is still there. Sei zuo, sei let go, sei renounce. You know, all this inquiry is very important. And when you understand, then you realize, he know you, he know me. That's why what is mentioned there is beautiful. Then suddenly you realize, without the I, the ego, then you realize renunciation is automatic. You cannot hold on to anything anymore. You just do. That's why don't try to know. Nobody to be enlightened. No fame, nothing. It's just the way things are. The form and mind, of course, there is a form and mind. And you can say the form and mind enlightened, but that is not me. But that one is dependent, originating, karmically conditioned, waker and two. And that one is impermanent, come and go, segmented life. So all this understanding is there. It will fall into place. So you will come to realize that whatever she say inside there is a summary of what I taught you all. What I taught you all is a complete training. Then with that understanding, you come back, you will appreciate what she shared very well. And all the things that she shared, people cannot do, unless you go through the training of the Heart Sutta and the essential Dhamma that I have explained to you all, and the nature, everything, the silent mind, the true mind, the direct seeing. Without all this, you cannot realize what she said, what she summarized for you. That's why this missing link, the teaching that Maitreya wanted me to share with the world, is this one. 请你把正法传下去. This is the missing link. The Bodhisattva vow and all the teaching, the way I explain it and share it. Without this, you cannot realize what she say. What she say is very beautiful, very well summarized. Okay, so?
Sadhu Bharatiya.
You brought out this topic very good. So we can continue to discuss it actually in next session.
Yeah.
We have to end already today.